Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film critic and contributing editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Tony Macklin, film historian and critic, author of the book Voices from the Set. And you can find him online at tonymacklin.net. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
So let's start off with... Please.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, of course I meant to interrupt, or yes. I wouldn't have done it.
Interrupt away.
First of all, we want to shout out to our listener in New Jersey. We're big on the East Coast. Hi,
yes.
Nina.
Yes.
Secondly...
Yes.
It's so hard for you and me to find a movie that we really can recommend to almost anyone. And I'm sure you talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
But I have a movie that I can recommend to everyone.
Okay.
Star Trek.
Yes, Star Trek is excellent.
It's fun. And so Josh and Tony say, go see it. No matter what generation, whether you're a Trekkie or a non-Trekkie, I think you'll enjoy it.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, we talked about it pretty much exclusively last week. We spent almost the entire podcast talking about Star Trek and Star Trek-related matters. And so if you listened last week, you know I did like the movie a lot. T.R. Witcher, who was on with me last week, also liked it. So another recommendation from Tony Macklin, and I absolutely agree. Definitely see Star Trek. Here's a movie not to see, however, opening this week, which is Angels and Demons, the sequel to The Da Vinci Code, although it's based on a book that was not the sequel, that was the first in the series, and The Da Vinci Code was a sequel to the book. Not that that really is relevant here. You could really probably see this movie without having seen The Da Vinci Code, as there's only a handful of small references.
Oh, absolutely.
To the original movie. It does stand on its own.
I would disagree with you. I think people should see it.
Really?
I think the average moviegoer will be, if not satisfied, at least won't feel like he's wasted his time. You and I perhaps felt we wasted our time. But it does. Angels and Demons did perform a miracle.
What was that?
It makes 2 hours into four.
See, how can you then recommend the movie if you felt that way?
Because I feel like that. But it's not just my feeling. I also know the mass, the movie-going public, and I think a lot of people, if they keep their skepticism, if they keep their criteria, if they keep their intelligence, and if they keep their humanity out of the experience, might enjoy it.
So you're insulting the vast movie-going public. See, I disagree with you. I think even if you – I mean, first of all, I didn't like the movie as for myself. But I think even if you – look at it from the perspective of some sort of like, I want to turn my brain off and go see a dumb, movie that with no redeeming value to it. Even then, I thought it's just so boring and it doesn't really build the kind of suspense or excitement that you would want in a movie like that.
No, it's not. I absolutely agree. It's not what it could and should be. It shouldn't be directed by Ron Howard. He's the wrong director for a suspense movie. He was the wrong director for Da Vinci Code. But it has Hanks. And have you ever seen a performance by Hanks that was absolutely, absolutely not worth seeing?
No, but in this movie, and the plot of the movie, for those who are unaware, Tom Hanks plays Robert Langdon, who's a symbology professor at Harvard, and he's called upon to investigate these crimes that are going on at the Vatican. The Pope has died, and four cardinals who are sort of the top contenders to be the next Pope have been kidnapped, and they're threatened to be executed. So I think this character, and I don't remember, I mean, I saw The Da Vinci Code when it first came out, and I don't remember all the details in particular, but watching this movie, what struck me is that it doesn't matter how good an actor Tom Hanks is, there's no character here. All this guy does is wander around and deliver exposition. He has no personality. He has no inner life. He has no stakes. There's no reason why you could imagine that he cares what happens to the cardinals or whether they blow up the Vatican or not. And I don't know how you can watch a 2.5-hour movie with a cipher at the center of it.
Oh, my whole life I've experienced with a cipher at the center of it. So a movie with Tom Hanks' cipher is better than a world with George Bush as president. I mean,
okay, well, but we're not comparing this movie to the George Bush presidency.
I just did.
I don't know if that's really that's kind of an apples and oranges situation, I think. There.
Or kumquats or whatever.
Yeah, something.
Or Texas cacti.
Right. But it's not. No, I mean, I think that's an important thing. Like, not that this has to be some sort of deep character study, but I think even in an action movie, you want a sense of, like, who are these characters? Why do we care what happens to them? And why do they care what happens to the world of the movie?
I'm, in a sense, coming out totally with you and yet saying, when you said it's don't see it, I say, no, take a chance. I mean, there's so many bad movies out there.
True, true.
That this is not horrible, and it does have moments. And it's interesting to me and interesting to you, I think, to see how they use the special effects and how, well, but at least one of the problems here is the villain is just nondescript.
Right. Well,
I mean, he pales. And when he pales to the... I'll tell you what. He pales to the villain in Da Vinci Code, the assassin. And,
yeah.
And when you pale to an albino,
right.
You're really in trouble. Right. It took a long way to get there, to
but that was a good one. It was a good line. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't like the Da Vinci Code either, but I felt like that did have a few moments. I remember it having a good car chase towards the beginning. It did have Paul Bettany as that sort of creepy, self-flagellating villain. And here, we have none of that. I couldn't point to a single exciting or suspenseful sequence in this movie. I don't think any of the supporting characters are interesting.
I think there's one when he's trying to avoid the man with the pistol who's shooting at him. There's some excitement in that. I mean, it's a set piece.
Yeah.
But there's some drama and suspense. But we come back. I think a perfect director would have been Hitchcock. But what this is...
If we
this
could
is,
just resurrect Hitchcock.
Well, Hitchcock also had his bad moments.
True.
And he made a movie that was from a Leon Uris novel called Topaz that this reminds me of.
Yeah.
That it's too true or tries to be too true to the book. And as you said, dialogue, speech after speech.
Yeah, that's all it is. Let's tell you about this work of art.
You don't need it.
You could read a textbook and it would be more interesting because you'd get more depth and detail about this stuff. If you really want to know about the history of the Illuminati or works of art that you see in churches in Rome or something, you could buy a book about Rome or about the history of the Vatican or something and learn something, whereas you're getting a very surface amount.
What do you mean? Our audiences don't read.
You're insulting our poor audience here, Tony.
You hate – this podcast is called You Hate Everything.
Right, but I don't hate –
You don't hate people?
I hate some – but I'm trying to project an image of being – You're ruining it all for
Fair
me here,
balance.
Tony. Yes, exactly.
Hey, yeah. As a symbologist like Robert Langdon, here is a metaphor for, in a sense, the film.
Okay.
They had a screening of it in Tokyo, and both Ron Howard, the director, and Tom Hanks, the star, were there.
Yeah.
And they went out to a ballpark because you remember that Hanks had been in League of Our Own playing the manager, Jimmy Dugan. And he was supposed to throw the first pitch out. Well, he threw it, and who was the catcher? Well, it was Ron Howard. He threw it. It bounced way in front of the plate, eluded Howard. And I thought, boy, is that a metaphor for this movie.
They missed it. So I would say don't see this movie.
I would say see it grudgingly. See it and eat a lot of popcorn.
Why would you see a movie? Go see. We just talked about briefly Star Trek, which I think is a movie that, like as you said, anyone can see. It doesn't require – it's not a hard movie to watch. It's not too complex or anything. So if you're looking for a fun time at the movies – go see that. Don't see this.
My audience sees more than one film a year.
You have a very specific idea. Well, I mean just like right now, like this week.
Oh, absolutely. I'd agree. Star Wars is terrific, and that's why I started off with it, because that is the one to see.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there's something else you can – so I don't know. I give this 2 out of 5 stars, which is not a recommendation. And I don't know. Maybe you would give it a higher rating?
I give it 2.5.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, well, let's move on to something that I know we both liked, which is the documentary called Tyson, about Mike Tyson, which is opening exclusively at the Suncoast this week. It was directed by James Toback, who is sort of an eccentric maverick director, I guess you could say, who's made some interesting films, not always successful films, but definitely always ones with personal vision, I think.
Well, he made one. He's known Tyson since 1985.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the 70s, I think it was 74, he made a film with Jimmy Kahn called The Gambler, mm-hmm. which is a terrific movie about gambling and sports.
Right.
So he's been, and Toback has had his demons
absolutely
since
yes.
since he started out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons probably why he's friends with Tyson and why this is a good subject for him to make a movie about is because both of them have these sort of self-destructive tendencies and they both have these big sort of overpowering personalities. And so I think it's a good fit, the director and the subject here. And I'm not a boxing fan at all. I know very little about Mike Tyson other than sort of what permeates into the mainstream. And yet I found this movie really fascinating. It's basically just Tyson talking the entire time. They kind of put the camera on him. You never hear Toback asking questions or prompts or anything. There's some archival footage that gives you a sense of his Tyson's career. But for the most part, it's just him telling you about his life and his feelings and mistakes he's made. And
can you imagine Mike Tyson walking on the beach, quoting from an Oscar Wilde poem.
And yet it works.
And it absolutely worked. When I go to the movies, what I really want is two things, I suppose. It went a lot of things, but two basically. One is that it be a human experience, that on the screen there's something about the human condition. And secondly, that it may enlighten me about something that I don't know or
right.
may in fact change my mind. We all go with preconceptions. I went to Tyson saying, oh, is he going to bite off my ear? But he's thoughtful. He's articulate. This can't be Mike Tyson.
Right.
But it was. And he uses words like he calls Don King not a blank and blankety blank, but he calls him reptilian.
Yeah.
What kind of word is that? But there are words like, he uses words like surreal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
mature.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you like Mike Tyson, but unless you know him absolutely personally, it has to give you another side. You have to see another side of him in this movie.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And I think what I liked about it, too, is that you can still come out of it thinking, this guy did some horrible things that I don't approve of, that I don't want to. You don't necessarily, I mean, you can sympathize, but at the same time think like, I'm not going to forgive certain things that he's done. And the movie, I don't think, asks you to do that. It simply says, here's this guy, and here's what he's done, and here's how he feels about it, and then you can kind of come out and decide how you feel about it.
I would disagree somewhat in that Toback only gives us one negative scene of Tyson. Everything else, I mean, it's obviously presented to be sympathetic and empathetic
yeah,
to the
true.
Man.
Yes.
And the only time that we see Tyson's uncontrolled anger and fury and obscenity and vulgarity is in the scene in the press conference where he starts to scream and shriek
right.
these obscenities at some, and that's part of Tyson. And that's really, I think, a lot of this picture is giving us one side. We have seen the other side of Tyson so often, and I think Toback is trying to balance the scales, but I don't think it is a complete or total picture in any way.
Well, no, I mean, you're right about that. And obviously Toback, I mean, having been friends with Tyson for over 20 years, is sympathetic to him and I think is hoping that people will come out of the movie feeling that way, that they will see Tyson sort of as he sees Tyson, as an interesting, introspective, complex guy. I just think I liked that it didn't necessarily hit you over the head with that. It said, here's Tyson, and he's portraying him in the most positive way. But I didn't feel like, I mean, at least for me personally, I came out thinking like, okay, he's more interesting and more complex than I had thought. But at the same time, like there are moments like he calls the woman who has accused him of rape, which he still says is not true. And we don't know whether it's true or not. But what he says about her, he calls her like a wretched swine of a woman. And regardless of whether, you know, what really happened, like there's some serious anger still going
oh,
on
sure.
there that you can see boiling under the surface.
But the key to Toback's, the effect of Toback's direction is that we don't think that we're being conned or that
no.
we're only getting part of the picture.
Right.
And when I watched it, I said, is Mike Tyson conning me? Boy, I want to be skeptical.
Right.
And yet he did win me over.
Yeah. Oh, he won me over too. And I think that's one of the good successes of the movie. But I think it could have been done. I mean, the way that it was done, the way he wins you over is very honest, I think. You know, Toback isn't trying to stack the deck too much.
Well, it's almost like the film Milk.
Yeah.
That we get Harvey Milk, we get a very positive, empathetic portrait of him.
Yeah.
And anything that perhaps was offensive or grating or would put you off was not in the picture.
Right.
And it's the same way with this picture. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. In fact, when I taught, I know how much better it is to try and teach something you love instead of something you don't like, and that there was a love of Van Sant for Milk, for Harvey Milk, and there is love that Toback has for Tyson.
That's true. And the one thing the movie doesn't do is present any sort of other perspective, even if it was someone saying positive things about Tyson, about how he was a great boxer or how he was misunderstood or anything like that. We don't get that. And I think at first that is a little frustrating. You think like, well, what are we missing here? Mm-hmm. But the fact that he sticks with that and it's like this is the sort of purity of what Toback has in mind, that this is Mike Tyson, unadulterated, just him, that for what that is trying to do, it succeeds.
He's unadulterated, but he's adulterated by the editing process.
True. Yeah, obviously. I mean,
but bottom line, I think it's phenomenal. I think it really works as it is meant to work. And when you review films, you say, okay, what does the film try to do? And then secondly, you say, do I agree with it, what it tried to do?
Yeah.
And it, so many films do not succeed on the level of trying to, of achieving what they set out to do.
Right.
I mean, you can list
sure.
4 out of 5 films
yes.
that don't succeed on what they, not what I want them to be, but what they say they are.
Yeah.
This one doesn't. This one, Tyson does an extraordinary job.
Yeah, he does. He really does. And I like James Toback. I think he's sort of an underrated director, and he's got a spotty career, but he's always an interesting. There's actually a documentary about Toback that came out a few years ago called The Outsider, which was shot while he was making his film When Will I Be Loved, which features Mike Tyson, and is a very sort of lopsided, not wonderful film, but it's an interesting documentary. So I'm glad to see that Toback has made a movie that people are responding to, that seems to be achieving success. And I will say, quickly, Two Girls and a Guy, which is a Toback movie from about 10 years ago or so, is with Robert Downey Jr. and Heather Graham and Natasha Gregson-Wagner, I think is just a really interesting, complex drama. It's almost like a stage play. It's just these three characters in an apartment for 2 hours or so. And it's a movie I like a lot. So I think if you like Toback's perspective from seeing this, I mean, it's very different from Tyson in a way, but it's also a movie about a sort of misogynistic, very masculine guy and his own complexities and mistakes that he made.
And I would add The Gambler in 1974, because
yeah.
that's the young Jimmy Kahn and the young Toback, and it shows his roots.
Yeah.
You go back to his New York roots in the gambling world.
Right, right. Yeah, so definitely. I mean, I think Toback, hopefully he'll have a little bit of a renaissance here along with Tyson. And then speaking of DVD, one other movie coming up on DVD on Tuesday that I do want to recommend is Valkyrie, which got kind of mixed reviews, I think, when it came out. It had a lot of baggage, I think, before coming out with Tom Cruise and all the negative publicity that he had gotten just for his personal life and his religious views and things like that. And I think they kind of overshadowed this movie, which was also the release date was pushed a bunch of times. But I think it's a really successful, very suspenseful film. Bryan Singer, who made the first two X-Men movies, The Usual Suspects, is a really good director. And he rings a lot of, despite the fact that it's about the plot to kill Hitler, and you know what's going to happen. They're not going to kill Hitler. And yet he manages to make it very engaging and suspenseful in terms of how will the plot play out, and will they get caught, and what will the consequences chances be? And Cruz is maybe miscast as the leader of this German plot. But he does a good enough job that he doesn't damage the film, I think. And the supporting cast, Bill Nighy and Eddie Izzard, and just a lot of really good actors in smaller parts, add together to a really good movie. And I think a pleasant surprise it was for me when I saw it. And so if you sort of dismissed it when it was in theaters, I think it's worth a revisit on DVD when it comes out on Tuesday. And see Tyson. It's only over at the one theater, but I think it's worth seeking out this weekend, more so than Angels and Demons.
Now, is your audience limited to Vegas? I would say there are theaters all over the country that are
That is true too.
I'll bet you there's one in New Jersey for Nina.
I bet
Nina,
that's true.
See Star Trek.
See Star Trek. Yeah, definitely see Star Trek. But see Tyson if it's playing near you, and if you're in Vegas, it's over at the Suncoast. My thanks to Tony Macklin for joining me this week.
Thank you very much for having me.
And check him out again at tonymacklin.net. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.